In Philippians chapter 1, we got down to the end of the chapter last time, verse 29, verse 30. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. When the Lord saved my soul, I hadn't signed up for suffering. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was headed for hell.
Yep.
I knew that Christ paid for my sins. I trusted his payment for my sins. I was very grateful to be saved. I didn't know I'd signed up to suffer.
Yep.
For the first few years, nobody told me. After a while, you figure things out. But it turns out that it's part of the privilege of being a believer. It's part of what goes on. It's part and parcel of our occupation, of who we are. The word is conversation, but I can't use that because the NIV people will think I'm just talking about chit-chat.
Yes.
Now, I needed to learn from 2 Timothy in chapter 2, starting with verse 7, where Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. By the way, I take that as by reading his word rightly divided, not by getting a zap. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to, underline it, that's one of three times Paul says, my gospel. Not the gospel of the kingdom. My gospel, the gospel of the revelation of the mystery. He doesn't suffer trouble because he preaches, repent, and be baptized.
That's right.
He suffers trouble because he says, trust Christ. It's not about turning. It's not about repenting. It's not about baptism.
Right.
You want to suffer trouble as an evildoer? Be Pauline in your doctrine.
Yes.
And they will say evil things about you. Oh, he worships Paul. He doesn't even worship Jesus. Oh, he wouldn't pray for his wife if she were in a head-on crash. You know, those kinds of things. I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. And of course, he was locked up. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he'll also deny us. You didn't lose your salvation there. This is speaking of the reward system. And if we believe not, you call yourself an atheist, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself.
Right.
One of the best verses dealing with the security of the believer is right there.
Yes.
There are people who, saved as a child, live a life of declension, debauchery. Whether or not people say, well, I'll see Elvis in heaven. No, he's at the Burger King. Ray Stevens did a song in UFO lands, and he sees Jimmy Hoffa and he sees Elvis in the UFO. For Elvis to be in heaven, certainly his life didn't exemplify any understanding of salvation. He sang a song called The Miracle of the Rosary.
Yes, he did.
So he's just singing words. He liked J.B. Sumner of the Stamps, had a deep voice. He liked him. They'd pick out tunes that they grew up with. That doesn't make you a Christian just because you sing Swing Down Sweet Chariot, Carry Me Home. He was raised up in an Assembly of God environment.
Yep.
In the Assembly of God environment, you hear conditional salvation, you hear living it, which he chose not to do.
Yes.
His wife makes statements, Priscilla makes statements, Lisa Marie makes statements that he was searching, he was investigating. That doesn't sound like a believer.
No.
His life from the famous year 1956 on, he had, what, 8 number one songs in 1956, and he became what he became right then, and then it trickled off, and he goes over to Germany, and all of the rest, as they say, is history. nothing of testimony of salvation anywhere in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, crying in the chapel doesn't get it done.
No.
So it would have had to have been sometime we wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it's very unlikely because of his Assembly of God background.
Yeah.
But let's hope he did get saved. The fact that he died falling off his own toilet full with 40-some drugs in him from Dr. Nicopolis would not remove salvation from him were he ever truly saved.
That's right. Mm.
You say, well, if he were truly saved, he wouldn't live like that.
No.
There's people say the same thing about me, about you.
That's right.
We don't exemplify salvation by performance. Salvation isn't a performance.
No.
We ought to walk in newness of life. Mm-hmm. The word is should. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that God hath before ordained good works that we should walk in them. We should put off the old man, we should put on the new man, but we don't always.
Right.
He may be a saved man. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah.
Surprising. When you talk like that, the name of the album was 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Well, there are probably 50 million people got him in heaven singing up there. They can be wrong.
Yes, they can.
And when you distill it down to the death, burial, and resurrection and your faith in Christ's payment for your sins, the My Gospel of the Apostle Paul, people will agree with you, and the next word in their conversation will be, but. I think you got to live it. But. I think you need to be baptized. When you hold fast his grace through faith, well, Brother Terry, I know you know. The word repentance is in the Bible, and it means to turn from your sins. That's the kind of stuff you get.
Yeah.
When you say, no, repent doesn't mean turn in the first place. It means you have a change of mind every time in every language.
Yes.
You're going to endure suffer. You're going to suffer trouble as an evildoer.
Yeah.
Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4 provides us some solace. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 8, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come.
Yes.
Godliness, living as best you're able, doing that which is as right as rain. It used to be called moral rectitude.
Yes.
You don't hear that kind of language anymore. I remember that an old-time preacher had a message entitled duty.
Yes.
A word that nobody uses anymore. We have a duty to vote. We have a duty to show up at work on time. We have a duty to, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't hear that word much anymore. We all are moral relativists and do what feels right. Verse 9, this is a faithful saying. We've got a life to come. And so what we do down here now may by all appearances be unprofitable. And we may be treated as an evildoer. We take the long look. We take the long view. And recognize that there is an afterlife. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where the judgment seat of Christ is dealt with, and these are judgment seat of Christ issues. You know, if you look at the scorecard on your life as it stands, you may not be real thrilled with how it looks. But we're not seeing it all.
Amen.
We're not seeing the eternal impact that you are having on people's lives. We're not seeing that which is heavenly oriented. We're only seeing the nasty now and now.
Yeah.
And who's putting up the score? The devil is. His crowd.
Yep.
They think you're an evildoer.
Yep.
So, I preach Christ and Him crucified, and I get criticized. Well, don't you think you ought to live it, brother? Christ? Think they need to follow Jesus in baptism? One of the stupidest things you can say. Now, I know it's a stupid thing to say, to follow Jesus in baptism.
Yep.
Good night, Nelly. As if you could. He's God. You're following that? He's taking Israel's place as identifying for them. You think you're doing that? And you talk about following the Lord in baptism because you can't read Matthew 28, verse 19. I'm following Jesus. You got the wrong baptism.
Mm-hmm.
You're baptized into His death, not into His life for Israel.
Amen.
It's so ignorant to say, I follow the Lord in baptism, but you can't talk to people that way.
No,
you can't say it as plainly as I just said it.
Mm-hmm.
You get anywhere near that, and you want to suffer trouble for an evildoer, that'll get it done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I've got a promo spot that I play on the radio broadcast, and it's old Kate Smith singing, Climb Every Mountain, and I come in with and drain every baptistry. Oh, would that I could. The grace of God given to Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, He's the wise master builder. He lays the foundation. Another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Buildeth thereupon what? The foundation that Paul laid in verse 10. Other foundation could no man lay. We understand there is a reward system. Oh, please don't lose sight of it. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Not how big a pile.
Mm-hmm.
What sort it is, the quality of it. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, thereupon what? The Pauline foundations. The wise master builder's foundation. He shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. So there is a reward system. There is a meeting out of equity. And that is a part of this which we're reading, the so-called Bema Seat, the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is reciprocal. It is symmetrical. Because there is the lowest hell. There is the greater damnation. So it's not everybody in the same place when it's perdition. There are degrees to that. Dante, when he, Roman Catholic, wrote the Inferno, which is a short little book, and so you ought to be familiar with it. It has layers of hell, circles. That's where the River Styx flows, and a lot of things that are in modern rock and roll music. They're all there in Dante's Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the lowest level of hell. That's where the popes are.
Amen.
I'm thinking, perceptive.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Well, there is that greater damnation, the lowest hell. There is that gradation of punishment. I'm reading a gradation of reward.
Mm-hmm.
If I know that, why would I live a life as if I didn't?
Yes.
If I know doing right, it's right.
Yeah.
And that there's benefits for it that I can't even know what they are. Why would I not lean in that direction? So, in verse 15, if a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You have the verse that the Catholics use for purgatory. Interesting.
It's all over there.
Well, they have something in Maccabees.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like similar to Bible, but not really.
Yeah.
It's in Second Maccabees and praying for people that their spirits are in hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they get that. Saved, yet so as if by fire. When I show up upstairs, I'd rather my tail feathers weren't smoking.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Huh?
Amen.
I'd rather be rejoicing than putting it out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there, suffering happens. I'm not talking about suffering because we did a wrong thing, because we did a stupid thing, suffering because we get older. This kind of suffering here is being treated as an evildoer, being treated as an off-scouring. Why? Because of the Pauline, my gospel. How many times have people said to me, or to you, my mother won't even talk to me about the Bible anymore?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Because she knows I actually believe mine, and I see Paul, and she has her NIV, and she's got her fingers crossed and hope for the best.
Yeah.
It's a dividing matter, a divisive matter.
Yes, it is.
And lots of times that hurts. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is a scary verse. Knowing ye therefore the terror of the Lord. Well, help me out. If I can know the terror of the Lord, why would I go in a direction that guarantees it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, long about verse 9, whether we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for he must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. It says the things done in his body. It's not about gold, silver, and precious stones. According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore, verse 11, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Kind of a golden rule. Having it meted unto me as I meted it unto others. Receive the things done in his body. I take that not to be my physical body, but the body of Christ.
Yes.
Operating according to the revelation of the mystery, the my gospel. There's a reward for that. And I'm going to say, when you know the revelation of the mystery, when you understand Pauline truth, when you hide that under a bushel, the sort of workmanship you have is going to be inflamed.
Yes.
Know the terror of the Lord. To whom much is given, much is required. I didn't sign up for suffering.
No.
But I see that is part and parcel of the position of the church, the body of Christ, and I'm in that. So I get that. Whether I signed up for it or not, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And the more Pauline I've become over the years, the more clear these things are to me, the more the problematical verses disappear and evaporate, and the more I'm learning this, I couldn't bridle my tongue.
Amen.
I couldn't skirt these issues. It's not in me. I couldn't compromise over Pauline truth. I just can't. There's times where that's very uncomfortable. There's times when you'd like to bite your tongue, but you know, if they go on that belief system and they pursue that, they're going to be in so much trouble, you're going to hate yourself for having bit your tongue. You need to say something to them.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, you get to suffer for that. Now, the suffering that's out there, the wrong doctrine that people have and that they accept and that they warm up to, is going to bring them to a level of suffering that makes yours look like nothing at all. They're going to hell with them.
That's it.
They're going to hell with them. So a little bit of suffering that we have to put up with by telling them, no, you didn't follow the Lord in baptism, and being baptized didn't show your obedience. And by the way, the fact that you're fighting so much over baptism indicates to me maybe you don't understand grace through faith.
Yeah.
If a person never got baptized, could they still go to heaven?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised at the answer. You'd be surprised.
That's true. That's true.
Some will say, well, yes, he could, but he wouldn't have many rewards, and he wouldn't get to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yeah.
He'd have to wait tables.
Yeah.
Or the burger board.
In our Bibles, when Paul says in Romans chapter 4, verse 4, now to him that is worketh is a reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. He's talking about salvation there. Do you get that? I'm picking on this for a reason. Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Verse 1, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For of Abraham were justified by works. He's talking about justification. Is that the context? If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. For to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. He's talking about righteousness, salvation, justification.
Yeah.
You got that? So when a grace missionary to the Philippines says, there's no such thing as the judgment seat of Christ, and he proves it using Romans chapter 4, verse 4. What have you got?
The guy that doesn't understand grace salvation.
Now, he taught this at one of Pastor Jordan's conventions. I can't think of his last name. Dan. Isn't that awful? I don't think about it much. He's up in Wisconsin someplace. He taught it at Pastor Jordan's conference that the judgment seat of Christ, that there's really no such thing as that, because then it wouldn't be grace. And he takes out of context Romans chapter 4, verse 4, which is about salvation, and rids himself of the judgment seat of Christ. He didn't rid me of it because I didn't buy what he was selling. There is a reward system.
Yes.
It's out there that there isn't. In the grace movement, it's out there that there isn't. Why can't I think of his name? He's the guy, he and his wife.
Yeah.
We all went to a restaurant, it was all you can eat.
Now you don't want to.
They bought one all-you-can-eat and four of them ate off of it. Just crooked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, why should he care? There's no judgment seat of Christ. See these things?
Mm-hmm.
You are your belief system.
Yes, you are.
I love it when the politicians, well, you know, I go to church over here, but I believe over here. No, you're a liar one place or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You're a liar one place or the other.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, that's out there. That's why I'm parking on Romans chapter 4, verse 4, because you're going to hear it said that if there's a reward system, then it's not grace. The context of justification and salvation is what's mm-hmm. on the table in Romans chapter 4, verse 4.
Yeah.
All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, along about verse 16, Paul says, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me. Carol and I gave awfully big tips at that restaurant.
Oh, yes.
Oh. To try to cover for the fact that mm-hmm. three of these people, missionaries, had robbed the restaurant. Mm-hmm. He's just sitting there slack-jawed, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Am I seeing what I'm seeing? No, tell me.
It ain't so. They bought one all you can eat and four of them.
And Christians wonder why they have a bad reputation. And
yeah.
And Christians mm-hmm. wonder why businesses aren't glad to see them show up.
Yeah.
Oh, well. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a one... Oh, I'm in the wrong place. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me. Woe unto me. Lester Roloff said, when the Lord says woe, you'd better pull on the reins and stop. Wrong kind of woe. Woe, that's a word for suffering. If I preach not the gospel, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. My apostle says there's a reward. Mm-hmm. He got locked up. He got imprisoned. He got whipped 39 times, save one. He got tossed over the side of a boat. Some reward system on earth.
Yeah.
Only Luke is with me. Mm-hmm. Alexander the coppersmith had done me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his word. Paul doesn't end in a flame of glory, does he?
No.
But there's a reward.
Amen.
But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, there's the my gospel. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel, ransoming it out. John Wesley was real close to doing that, by the way. He got mad at his audience. And it wasn't unusual because Wesley had... There were lines you didn't cross with old John Wesley. And he got mad at his audience. And there was a mourner's bench where you'd come up and cry and pray. And he wouldn't let them come. As far as I'm concerned, you can all go to hell. I don't want anybody up here. Oh, he was rough. Third or fourth day, he let him come. Which was the custom of the day. There's the ability of a pastor, a teacher, to become a rock star. There's a lot of them that want that.
Yes.
They use their position to gain adulation. And so every motive for everything that they do tends to be wrong.
Yes.
Boy, when you see that, hit the door.
Yes.
Flee. Because you'll be made merchandise of just as quick as anybody else in the auditorium.
Yes.
Paul said he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't abuse his power in the gospel. There's a reward, but you don't get payment. That's not a reward like we know much about, is it? Mm-hmm. People win the lottery, what's the first thing they all do? Buy a Harley.
Yeah.
Or they buy a fast car. What's the second thing they all do? They file bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And they enter the detox unit. Colossians chapter 1, Christ is my head, I'm the church, I'm the body of Christ. He has for me a purpose. Yes. My purpose includes suffering for the sake of the gospel. Mm-hmm. The my gospel, the Pauline, in which I get to suffer as an evildoer. The first time somebody approached me, I was at one of our Christian bookstores. I was minding my own business. I was putting books up on the shelf. Here comes the pastor of Charity Baptist Church, who had been my pastor at one point in time. And he says to me, McLean, what kind of a cult are you getting started over there? I was reminded of that when Brother Mark Moma said that what we're doing here is cult garbage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last time it came from a Baptist, I think it did this time too.
That may be.
That may be. You know, you can fake grace for a while. Mm-hmm. Your real belief system comes out sooner or later. Mm-hmm. When you read the Christmas poem to the boys and girls.
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, I'm going to suffer trouble as an evildoer.
Yeah.
If I know that, then am I not equipped? Don't I know something that keeps me from being surprised when it happens?
Mm-hmm.
So I go into it kind of anticipating that's what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
You can't knock me down as easily.
Amen.
If I know you're trying to.
Yeah.
Hmm? When I'm riding my horse, Rusty, I know there are certain things he doesn't like. I try to stay away from those certain things because he was a lot larger than I. And he would go where he wanted to go instead of where I wanted to go when certain things happened. If you flush quail with that horse, you're going to go on a ride. Because he didn't like it when the birds fly off. He flies off too.
Oh, yeah.
It's up to you whether you go with him or not. Sometimes I did. Sometimes I watched him go by himself. When I got up off the ground, that's just how that was. But when I knew that, then I could anticipate it from that point on.
Yeah.
So I know these things. That's a good thing. I like to say to you, don't go looking for trouble. It'll find you. The fact that you're saved makes you part of a very small group of people that don't belong on the planet.
That's right.
You're running counter to pop culture. You're running counter to the systems that are in place. I was asked by the Beaver Creek Public Education System to make a contribution and a suggestion. I said, I don't have any money for you other than the taxes I already pay, but I got a suggestion. That would be to shut every school, send all the kids home, and start over.
Click.
Huh?
Sound of crickets.
So I've kind of got to the point now where if I don't suffer some trouble as an evildoer, I figure I must have been gotten lazier lately, really toned down.
Yep.
Do I have any Bible for that? Oh, we just were there in Philippians chapter 1.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They see it as a token of perdition. You see it as evidence of your salvation.
Right.
We were just there.
Yes.
So suffering is part of it. We shouldn't be shocked. If I'm going to reign with him, I need to give him preeminence.
Yes.
I don't start when I show up upstairs. I start now.
Yes.
So the sufferings that we have down here, we do for his sake, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the my gospel, for the sake of Pauline doctrine. Most of Christianity goes to church and says they serve the Lord in order to get something out of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You've already gotten everything you're ever going to get.
Yes,
you're complete in Christ, seated in heavenly places. You're an eternal being. You're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. If you're serving Him to get goodies down here, the suffering is going to shock you and surprise you and knock you off your horse.
Yes.
Understand, the rewards are heavenly. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Let's stop there, and we'll pick up next time. Amen, amen. We'll start Philippians 2 next time. That's 9 lessons, 1 chapter.
Yep.
There's 4 chapters.
You didn't leave them out.
Well, I could probably go back through and get all the different points.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, mercy sakes. Oh, mercy.